Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. David Scare will be teaching on baptism and the Lord's Supper November 18th through the 20th at Pilgrim Lutheran Church in West Bend, Wisconsin. For more information, call Concordia Theological Seminary at 260-452-2100. Baptism and the Lord's Supper, taught by Dr. David Scare, November 18th through the 20th at Pilgrim Lutheran Church in West Bend, Wisconsin. 260-452-2100.
I gave you my word I would return.
I saw you with the Avengers.
Jane, I fought to protect Earth.
Is that your excuse?
Yes.
It's not terrible.
Before the universe, there was darkness. And it has survived.
What's gonna happen?
Face an enemy known only to a few.
Only to one.
After all this time, you come to me for help.
I'm Loki. You may have heard of me.
That was from New York.
I like her.
Thor.
Your family. Your world.
Will be extinguished.
It's gonna destroy everything.
I'll find a way to save us all.
The trailer from the new Thor movie, The Dark World. Now, we're completely accustomed to the popularity of superhero movies. They come out constantly, all the time. They make up about half of the movies that make up the blockbuster hits. Now, the Thor movie may have a little wrinkle in it, and that is, it's not just about a superhero, it's about a Norse god, a pagan, an ancient Norse pagan god. Should that concern Christians, or is this just another superhero movie? We're going to be reviewing the movie Thor: The Dark World with Pastor Ted Giese in the first half hour of Issues Etc. We're going to spend that time with him and get an idea what the movie's about and should it concern the pagan content, if there is any, in this lighthearted action fantasy superhero thriller. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Friday afternoon, November the 15th. After our conversation with Pastor Ted Giese, Mormon apologist Scott Gordon joins us. We're going to be talking with him about the beliefs and practices of Mormonism, a one-on-one conversation with a defender of Mormon belief and practice coming up for about the next hour of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon. Then, since it is Friday, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. That means we have four soundbites that we will play for you, and you will decide which one should be Soundbite of the Week this week by voting at the end of the program. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary in Canada titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
This isn't just a superhero. This is a superhero who's pulled kind of loosely out of Norse pagan mythology, Norse pagan religion. Should that concern Christians?
Well, very loosely pulled out of that. I had one person in our congregation, a member, say, I mentioned that I was going to be going to this movie and reviewing it. In fact, we had a bunch of kids from the congregation all go out to see this together. And they said to me, isn't that Thor movie a pagan thing? And yes, Thor, Odin, Loki, all of these kind of characters in this do belong to the pantheon of Norse gods. But the Thor of Marvel and the Thor of Norse mythology are different. The movies, the comic books, all of these things highly fictionalize these characters and are a real departure from the originals. Just looking back at some of that stuff, I went and found some things and looked over it. He, like the Thor of pagan mythology for the Norse people, is just he's very harsh, very blunt, very brutal, way less introspective. So the Thor that you get, especially in these movies, is one that, you know, has a gentle side, a loving side, has affection for family members, strives towards virtues like humility and patience, you know, along with being like the god of thunder and all of that kind of stuff. The movie itself does address this in a way, which is kind of interesting. At one point, Thor's kind of adopted brother Loki is being kind of dressed down for things that had happened in previous movies by his father, Odin, and he says that he just wanted to be a benevolent god you know, to the people of Earth. And Odin says, well, we aren't gods. You know, the character in the movie says, you know, we have a beginning, a middle, and an end. Like, we live just longer lives than humans. That's the way they kind of set it up in the movie itself. So it does have connections with those original Norse mythological characters, but it's quite its own thing by this point.
Now, you say that a good concept for Christians to get a hold of before they... Well, really, it's really seeing any movie, but these movies that deal with fantasy and especially that have kind of pagan religious overtones, if only overtones, is what I would call the world of the story, or some would call it meta-narrative. What is that idea?
Yeah, I mean, we're all kind of, I think, growing more and more familiar with the idea of a worldview, and that's a way in which people would come in contact with the world and the way they think about everything that happens around them. The idea of kind of a world that's all mapped out for you, like you might find in Star Wars or The Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter or The Wizard of Oz or the Marvel comic book universe, they have a kind of an overarching systematic kind of way of approaching it, so that there is this meta-narrative that the story they're telling is situated in. And that's kind of the idea of the meta-narrative. It's some people... If you work in computer sciences and things like that, you might come across something called metadata. It's data about data. You know, within systematic theology, this is often referred to as cosmology. So there's lots of different ways of thinking about this, but it's kind of like the big story into which all other stories fit. It's a grand narrative that systematically explains everything and to which everything can be tied. So this Thor: The Dark World is part of a bunch of different movies, and it's all part of some large story that's being told by the people over at Marvel Studios who are making these movies.
What's the basic story?
The basic story of the film is it's kind of picking up a little later after the first Thor movie and then the Avengers movie, and what you get is this situation where something that was thought to be set aside for all of eternity has been found, and it sets a bunch of things in motion. This is, in writing terms, is often referred to as a MacGuffin. It's just the thing. In this movie, it's called the Aether, and it's some dark matter kind of thing from beyond time. And there's an evil character, Malekith, who wants to get this and then plunge everything in existence back into darkness. Kind of a primordial before creation kind of an idea. Now, this should, if you're a Christian, be hearing this, doesn't sound like the story that you know from Scripture itself, the true story. But here it is in this movie, in its own kind of fictional world that it's situated in, and they have this idea that before everything was made, there was just darkness, and in that darkness something was lurking that was bad. And now it's come back to try to drag us all back down into darkness. The central character, Thor, his love interest, she ends up stumbling across this, and then all of the events of everything start swirling around her. And you get, like, the family dynamics for Thor and his family and things of that nature. And then in the background of all of it is him kind of trying to come to terms with the idea of becoming king of the Asgardian people following his father, Odin. The first movie was about him and his suitability for that, his temperament, and this is the wisdom of doing it. Could he rule the people of the, you know, nine realms or whatever like his father could? And that's the kind of question kicking around the back of Thor's mind through the course of all of these adventures in the movie.
You say that this is a movie that doesn't take itself too seriously. Is that a... I mean, some people want these movies to be kind of dour and serious and story-oriented, but is that a strength or a weakness, in your opinion?
This is a huge strength, and in fact, like, if you haven't seen anything to do with this, or if you just kind of vaguely knew something about it, and you're listening to this now, everything we talked up to this point sounds like really epic and big and important and, you know, maybe self-important. Well, this movie doesn't take itself that way. If it did, it would be a tremendous bore, and it would probably be incomprehensible. Like, the fact that it has this light touch and is kind of actually strangely full of a lot of joy and optimism and hope and fun makes it kind of swashbuckling high adventure and not so much just dire, dour, depressing apocalypse.
Does it also, I mean, it sounds like it just generally makes it more entertaining.
Yeah.
Now, for the purist wants the storyline. You know, I'm thinking here of kind of the Batman movies where there is little to zero humor in some of those movies, but that's not the point. The point is the mythology, telling the story, depicting kind of that entire, taking everything too seriously, that is the Batman mythology. Would you contrast it with that?
For Batman, if anything in these recent Batman movies was to happen and it was to be funny, it's completely unintentional. In this, there definitely is actual humor. And while the kind of guy that gets most of the laughs is this actor, Tom Hiddleston, who plays Loki, really Chris Hemsworth is quite funny in this too. And he's got a lot of great moments. There's one moment that I read somewhere that I think it was improvised by him, is that he's at one point back on Earth and he's kind of going into somebody's apartment, you know, and they're going to kind of noodle out some of the, you know, things that might happen later in the movie or whatever. And he walks in and people are kind of like putting up their coats and stuff. And he walks in and what does he do? He takes his hammer and he hangs it on the coat rack. Well, the movie theater just burst out into hysterics. They loved that. And it was completely, it was a comedic thing, and he pulled it off excellently. And then on top of that, it's supposed to be something that he kind of just kind of ad-libbed at the moment when they were filming it. But, it isn't, he's not a character that takes himself too seriously. And as an actor, he does such a great job. We had talked about him a little bit previously in that movie Rush, about the car racing. He played in that. But in this, there's just a real kind of twinkle to his performance. He has a really great time.
And with only 30 seconds, any pastoral concerns about who should be watching the movie? Only 30 seconds.
It is, like, I mean, there's a lot of big things going boom and explosions and things of that nature. But overall, it's as long as you take the time to sit down and just talk about, like, what do Christians actually believe? What do we as Christian families confess? Like, go back to the creed, you know, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Athanasian Creed. That's where our meta-narrative, in a nutshell, can be found. And take that opportunity and talk about that with your family.
Pastor Ted Giese is Associate Pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. You can read his review of Thor at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. And next time we'll talk with him about Ender's Game 2. Thanks, Ted.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk about Mormonism with a Mormon.
Who cares what picture you see?
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Brooklyn, New York. Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama. Our Savior Lutheran, Paradise, California. St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan. Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Kimberling City, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Salinas, California. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin, and St. John's Lutheran, Colton, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org and click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.